Hope you have your Bibles. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. And if you're physically able, would you stand with us all over the church to honor the reading of God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtain like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Peter. I thank you for the idea of being a servant. Lord, help continue this morning to teach us about being a servant. And it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We began last Sunday looking at this idea about being a true servant. What is a true servant? The Bible uses that word servant often. Well, we use the word loosely a lot in just our everyday language about serving and being a servant. We kind of jumped off last week, though, with the idea that Peter understood, and we see and we had read in the Bible how a true servant is brought to Jesus. Peter was brought to Jesus by Andrew, and that changed his life. He understood that God had come, that Jesus has come to serve and not be served. And so often, if we're not careful, that's how we are. We'd rather be served. That feels better. Amen. That feels like what we want. Then we went and kind of ended up last week the idea that a true servant, the Bible says, is a bond servant. And a bond servant translates as a slave. That's what it is. You're a bond slave, a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Peter had humbled himself. He was gratefully placed in this position. He submitted to God. He surrendered to God. It was his duty. It was obedience. And we looked at some of the leaders in the Bible that were servants. We found, and I kind of ended up last Sunday giving you really four ideas about comparing this true servant of God and this bond servant that Peter had told us about with the slaves of the time. Let me go ahead and interject this, and we'll talk more and more. But some talk about midweek, I realize it just kind of overwhelmed me that what the Bible is telling us is that we were created to be servants. We were created to be bond servants. We were created to be slaves of Jesus Christ. Now, we know in the idea of the meaning of a slave is that a slave is controlled, and a slave has what? A slave has a master. Amen? We understand that from the beginning of Bible times with slaves. We understand that with the time even in our country of having slavery. We understand that a slave has a master. So we find in the Bible, and what we understand is that God created us to be his slave, to be his master. He's that one. And I've thought this verse often this week about how he says, if we're heavy laden and burdened, that we come to him and he gives us rest. And so he's the perfect master. He is the master we want, but we're created to be his slave. We're created to be that bondservant he wants us to be. And then I realized that the sin nature in us, when Satan fell from heaven, what had he wanted to do? He wanted to be God. He wanted to be in control. He wanted to be what? He wanted to be the master. So the sin nature in every one of us, all of us, wants to be a master. We want to be a master in control of others and even our own life and things. Amen? Sin nature makes us want to be a master. God's created us to be a slave, and because we're created to be the slave to Him, the servant to Him, when we're not following Him and when we get all mixed up, because that nature's in us, we become slave to other things. Amen? So it's the way He created us. Tim, the DNA you talked about with Genesis 1:1, that's what is happening. So first of all this morning, and I'm going to give you four statements this morning. The first statement, and I gave you these four last week. The first statement is simply this. If you are doulos, remember the Greek word, if you're a servant, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, the first thing that it means is that when you're that way, you're possessed by God. You belong to God. Now, I like that idea, don't y'all? I like the idea of belonging to God. We have people that will do anything to belong in this world. Maybe they've had a rough time growing up. They've had a rough family life. They don't seem to fit in real well at school. They don't seem to fit in well at work. They don't think they belong to anything, and they'll do anything and everything just to belong. When God has created us simply to be His servant, be His slave, to belong to Him, we're possessed by Him. So here's your connection. In ancient times, see, because slavery began years and years ago, slavery was taking place in the Bible times. And during those ancient times, in the beginning especially, the master possessed his slaves as tools. Think about that. A slave was simply a tool of the master, and the master could have the slave do anything and everything he wanted to do. A servant can change his master, but a slave can't. Amen? So we're not just a servant. You work for the school system. Mike, you work for several schools, but that doesn't mean you can change schools anytime that maybe God leads you to do that. It might not be the easiest thing to do, but you can change where you work. Amen? I mean, if you've changed where you work, and so you, as a servant at where you work, and the idea in the fleshly sense, you can change, but a slave can't. You can't change masters. A slave can never change masters. They might like to and wish to and even beg to still be a slave, but you can't do that. So think about that and connect that today. What God is saying is, if we're really going to be His servant, His slave to Him, is that we belong to Him, and we can't have any other masters. We can't change masters. We're possessed by Him. We belong to Him. We are His. And there's nothing better than that. Turn in your Bibles. So the first scripture with this idea of being belonging to God is found in 1 Corinthians 6:20. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6:20, and we're going to look at some verses, and I hope Eric will help his family be able to keep up. At the last minute, be honest with you, I'm almost embarrassed. 1 Corinthians 6:20, I was at my desk finishing up, and I was thinking about Eric's Chinese Bible and him bringing his parents, looking at the scriptures, and I'm like, man, crazy. Why don't I translate the scriptures and my message in through the internet, not me, I mean, through the internet into Chinese, and I'll print them out for them. So we're in section one, Eric, and we're on the first scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 6:20. You've got it in your Bible. They've got it there in Chinese. It says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Is it any clearer than that? We belong to Him. The price that we're bought with is the price of Jesus Christ's life, His shed blood. That's the price that was paid, and we're to glorify God. We're to serve Him. We're to be His slave, and in your spirit, which are God's. The Bible says we are God's. We belong to Him. And see, the awesome thing is, we think of slavery, Brittany, as a very negative thing, because it's a very negative thing in our country for years and years. And thank God it's been abolished and gone away. But slavery, the idea of being a slave, simply meant that we were a servant of God, and the world has corrupted it from biblical times, even to the times that's happened in our country, and continues to happen in other countries now where people are slaves, because we were designed to what? We were designed, Randy, to be slaves, and so we want to understand more and just realize we belong to God. We're His. We're possessed by Him. The second scripture along this idea is found in 1 Corinthians 7:23. Look at 1 Corinthians 7:23. The Bible says, "You're bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of man." Look at that. The Bible tells us we're not to be slaves of men. We're to be slaves of God. We're to serve God. I've worked for bosses that they act like my master. They wanted to control. I've told you this before. Had a boss that was, actually my boss was in Atlanta. He flew in. I'm carrying him to a customer and trying to, you know, he's asking about needs and what's going on. And we got lots of needs. You probably do at your work often, amen. And I'm trying to share and talking to him. And he said this. He said, well, you've got 24 hours a day. And you got 7 days a week. I was asking for more employees, Sandy. He said, you got 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Are you using all of that yet? That's the master. Wants to be slaves, and that's not who we are. The Bible says, don't serve man. Now, we are to work, you know, for our bosses. We're to work and we're to do it in respect of what they have us do. But listen, any time a boss or anybody in your life starts trying to be a master and wants you to be their slave, you can simply tell them biblical truth, I am not your slave. Amen. Some of y'all, be careful how you use that tomorrow, okay? We belong to God. But secondly, the second idea of being this servant, this slave, and understand it better is this, that when we are that, we are unqualifiably, in other words, no exceptions, we're at the disposal of God. Now think about it. So we belong to God, and that should make sense. It's at my disposal. I mean, I've got tools at home in my garage, amen, and they're at my disposal. They belong to me. Remember in the old slave days, the slave was a tool to the master. So I've got tools in my garage. They're at my disposal to use unless I've left them somewhere and forgot about it or somebody's borrowed them, they ain't brought them back. Amen, men? But they're at my disposal. They're there. They belong to me. Amen? Your vehicle that you drove here, I assume unless you're leasing it or whatever, it belongs to you. It's at your disposal. When you got it this morning and went out to go to church, what did you have? It belonged to you, and so it was at your disposal to use. You didn't go out and go, unless it was stolen this morning, God will pray for you. You didn't go out thinking, well, where's my car at? See, there's no exceptions. It's unless you loan it to somebody or you decide to let somebody do something, it's at your disposal to use. And so we are supposed to be, because we belong to God, to always be at his disposal to do whatever he wants us to do. During slave times, the master could do whatever he liked with his slaves. Remember I said they were his possessions. In other words, to the master, he just looked at his slaves like a truck to carry somebody, a tool to use something. That's the way he treated them, and often in a most negative and terrible way. But God, we belong to God, and we're his tool. We're a tool to glorify him and to love him and to share Jesus and to meet needs and to care about people. The slave owner, the master had the same power over the slave of possession. He could sell a slave just like you could sell your car or a tool or possession. Had the power of the master of a slave, had the power of life and death in his hands. He could have a slave killed at any moment or spare his life. We belong to God, and God, for God to send us to do whatever he wants us to do, that we'll at his disposal, that we really don't have, just like a slave had to surrender all their rights to their master, we have surrendered all of our rights to God. We're at his disposal, and that, y'all, that should excite us to understand that we're at his disposal anytime. That's one reason I was so excited about becoming a pastor, because I got bosses in Charlotte telling me they want 24 hours, 7 days a week. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You may get off work and come home, but the phone is ringing, the emails are coming, texts are coming, and it's consuming your life. Amen? And I got excited thinking, my goodness, I got earthly bosses for a dollar wanting me to give all, but to be at disposal all the time. Hey, let's sign me up for God. Amen? I want to be serving that one that loves me and can use me with some real purpose. I want you to look at first scripture in this section 2 is in Matthew 6:24. Turn back, we're kind of moving back through the Bible, amen? Matthew 6:24. Listen to what the Bible says. In Matthew 6:24, that's under the second section, it's the first verse. Matthew 6:24 says, look at what Jesus says. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or his money. But look, the Bible says that we cannot serve two masters. So we've learned that we belong to God. We're at his disposal. He is our true master. So it's saying you can't have another master. That's not going to work. That's impossible. And remember I told you as we began that the sin nature in us makes us want to be a master. That's not too unique. Some of you are thinking about people that are very controlling that act like that. Maybe in your family, I hope it's not your husband or wife or, your boss. But we picture people, but it's all of us. Aaron, we all have this nature, this sin nature that wants us to be master and control things. So the Bible is saying there can't be two masters. There can only be one master. So that's what was so wrong about slavery throughout history, especially slavery here in the United States. You can't have a master that you're serving as a slave here and have a master God who is your truth. There can only be one. We need to understand that. Don't be a boss like that. Don't be a wife like that. Don't be a husband like that. We cannot have two masters. God said that's impossible. And we deal time and time again in this world that people are trying to be master and control something and as if it belongs to them and have an authority over it. And most often, the one that is guilty the most is the one that you're looking at in the mirror when looking back at you in the mirror when you look. Amen. We have this desire to want to, that's that sin nature. When God has created us, though, to be servant slaves. Now, turn with me to Matthew 23, the second verse there, Matthew 23, and let's look at verse 2. Matthew 23 and verse 2, and you just love how this is so full of what Jesus is saying. Matthew 23 and verse 2. I told Eric this morning, I said I want his parents to be able to read the scripture in Chinese because that was the important thing this morning. What I said is not important. What this says is what's important. Amen? Matthew 23 and verse 2. The Bible says, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whosoever they bid, you observe that observe and do. But do you not ye their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and large their borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feast, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ. There it is in the Bible. He's our master. He's the one master. And all your brethren, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master in Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Don't miss this. You were created to be a slave, okay? Now, some of you may have arrived in a situation, and it may be in a relationship. It may be you're dating someone. It could even, it could be in a marriage relationship. It could be in a work relationship. It could be in a friendship. But because you're built with this nature to be a slave, to be this servant, if you're not careful, you'll get mixed up with masters, Tony, amen? You'll get the wrong master. Now, thank God if you work for a Christian company and you've got a Christian boss who realizes that Jesus Christ is the master and doesn't want to be the master. But what we have is, while there's so many problems in our world and so many problems in our lives, will that slave nature in us will begin to humble itself before all these things at work and in home. And then, we can even become slaves to our fun time, to our hobbies, to whatever it is. So anything that gets a hold of you in a way that it's like kind of you belong to it. Amen? And you're always at its disposal. It did good this week to take some time and say, wait a minute. Is he my master, and am I just being a slave and at his disposal, or have a whole bunch of other things got a hold of me? That gave me relief today. I thought many times in my life when I've been the slave to the wrong things, amen? And I simply want to belong to him, be at his disposal. Also in Matthew 22, the third verse there, Matthew 22, let's look at Matthew 22, and it says in verse 36, simply it says this, Matthew 22, 36, says, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law. They're asking Jesus. They're calling on the one true master. And Jesus answered in verse 37 by saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we belong to God, just like a slave belonged to a master. We're at his disposal, just like a slave was at the disposal. But thirdly, listen to this. If we are truly a servant of God, a slave of God, we owe an unquestioning obedience to Him. We owe an unquestioning obedience to Him in whatever He calls us to do, whatever His Word says. Unquestioning obedience to Him. Let's look at the first verse to think about that. It's simply found in Luke 11:2, I believe. Not far there from where you're at in Matthew. Go to Luke 11:2. What does it mean to be just owing an unquestioning obedience to Him? Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. And we have two verses, I think, that will show this. Luke 11:2 shows us this in actually the Lord's Prayer. Luke 11:2. I'm having trouble getting there. Luke 11:2. It says, "And He said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." Deborah, there's another song that I've Shazammed, and it simply talks about being in, and obviously I can't remember it now, that's how it's in my phone. But the song talks about all these things, these circumstances and problems that happen in our life that we don't understand. And the song says and just points out that really there's only four words that we can just keep sticking to. And those four words are, "Thy will be done." Jesus is telling us in Luke 11:2, when you pray, say, "Our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." Wow. That is unquestioning obedience. Amen. That's what a slave does. It doesn't matter what mom and daddy say if it doesn't line up with the word and will of God. Do you hear that, Lexan? Lexan, do you realize that if your dad tells you something or asks you to do something that is contrary to the word of God and the will of God, that you can look at him and say, "Daddy, I can't do that." You can say, "Daddy, I can't do that because I am a doulos. I'm a servant. I'm a slave of God, and I have an unquestioning obedience to God." You realize that in the workplace, even at school. And now, mind you, these are the type of things that get you in trouble. Amen. Tim said in our Sunday school lesson today, he was that kid that just had the trouble, and his dad was very staunch about creationism and wanting to be in the public school system. Took it to court all the way, I believe, to the Supreme Court, she said, and finally got where his dad could teach creation because evolution was what was being mandated to be taught. And Tim said he would get in class because his dad was so put in his mind and taught him about that and what the Word of God says and what the truth was. And when you have this unquestioning obedience to God, you can say, "Well, that's wrong. That's crazy. Evolution is wrong. It's crazy. It's a theory and a stupid theory of that, but it's wrong." But when you begin, what happens is when you truly belong to God and when you truly are at His disposal, and when you truly are that doulos servant of His, where you have this unquestioning obedience to God, you have to begin to say that I have prayed and I believe that I want things in my life, in my home, in my school, in my work to be as it is in heaven. Jesus said, pray that way. And so what I'm saying is I have to stand on what His word is, will is, and I have to speak up. But you have to be a slave. Amen? You have to be a slave. We find it again in Matthew. Go back to Matthew 26:42. Matthew 26:42. This is taking extra time, but I'm so excited. I never get all my scriptures in, amen? But I feel obligated to get them all in because that's mainly all Eric's parents are getting. Matthew 26:42 says this: "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed," I'm reading 41, 42. "He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." What would happen if we began before you went to school or you went to work, you went to a family member's house, you went home today, and you understood that, hey, I realize this nature in me, and I've been a slave to some other things, I'll confess, and I've been a master at times, but I'm realizing now that I belong to God. I'm realizing that I'm at his disposal. I realize I've got an unquestioned obedience to God, just as Jesus did. When I got saved, Jesus moved in, the servant, amen, the true doulos, the one who died for it, and I've got this unquestioned obedience, so I'm going to my house, and I'm going to school, and I'm going to work, and I'm going to be based on when I get there that I've done what Jesus did, and I've got on my knees, and I have prayed, Lord, I don't want to have to talk to the boss about this. I don't want to have to raise my hand at the teacher when she's teaching this. God, if there's any way, God, you can work some other thing out, please do it. But if you can't, thy will be done. Thy will be done. But remember, and I think what I've learned is so many times in our lives, we're not that servant slave. We'll say, it's easy this morning to say, oh, I belong to God, and oh, I'm at his disposal, and oh, yes, I have an unquestioning obedience to God. No, we don't. No, we don't. Because it really takes care of so many things going on. In the ancient law of slavery, we think about this unquestioning obedience. Listen to this. The master's command was a slave's only law. If a master told a slave to break the law, a slave would break the law with no protest. As far as he was concerned, his master's commands were the law and nothing else mattered. In any situation that we get in, biblically speaking, what God is calling you and I to do is saying that we only have one question to ask, and that question is this: Lord, what will thou have me to do? Because your word, your law is my command, and I must be obedient to it. And I believe we'll probably get to the point where we'll be that way. I'm learning many things from Eric's parents. Now, one thing I'm learning is a lot about Eric's the way he is. Amen? One thing I've learned, I said this in Sunday school, I think we have a problem in that we are too rushed. We are just so busy, there's no time to think. I mean, there are so many things going on, we are just constantly pushing, going to bed, getting up. And I've noticed, it's just like last night, about 5 o'clock, Eric's father and him began to prepare that meal. It was after 7 when we sat down together and ate a wonderful meal. Hot tea and talking afterwards, just time together. This morning when I got up and came down from my study, Eric's sister and his father and mother were sitting at a full breakfast table set. And they were eating. They were talking. And we Americanized Eric, and he was just getting in the shower, and he came down, had food for Eric, and then Eric sat down. I sat with them. I learned. They ask how much is land in America. Well, that's a been day where it's at, right? Not far from my house on New Church Road, there's 10 acres that are for sale. I looked it up, Lisa, online yesterday morning. I will give an accurate answer. It was $100,000, lower. So about $10,000 an acre. And Eric's dad was telling me you can't own land in China. I live basically on family land, grandparents' land passed down over the years. Eric's dad's grandfather, they had land, and the government took it. Things are very different in China. But there's so many things happening here that if we don't truly become those servant slaves of Jesus Christ, and truly our allegiance only belongs to him, we're at his disposal, and we've got an unquestioning obedience to him, that when our government, or when your boss, or when somebody else tells you to do something that is contrary to the word and will of God, that we have to be, remember the reminder, here's what we miss. We every night and morning need to have a Gethsemane moment like Jesus and pray, and I pray, oh God, please let this happen some other way. Sandy, I don't want to have to bring this up. God, you do it. God, strike them, take it away. But God, if you don't do something, I'm going in there tomorrow. Because I've said, thy will be done. It doesn't matter what they do to me. Did y'all catch that? That's what Jesus was saying. Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your slave. I belong to you. I'm at your disposal. I'm obedient to you, dear God. So God, thy will be done. It doesn't matter what they do to me. I want to live that way. Don't you want to live that way? Don't you want to live that way? Kind of reminds me of the time that I had a gentleman, his wife and children would come to church. He wouldn't come to church. And I've been praying and praying that he'd come to church. But he played golf every Sunday morning. He had three other guys. They had a foursome. They played golf every Sunday morning. That's what they did. They looked for it all week. That was important to them, Steve. So he couldn't come to church. Mr. Lord, I'll never forget. The Holy Spirit was working on him, obviously. He began to decide that he just decided he was going to come to church with his family. Now listen to this. So he went to those guys and he said, I can't play golf anymore on Sunday morning. I'm going to start going to church with my family. And you know what the three guys said? Oh, when can you play? He said, oh, I guess about two. They said, that's fine. You know what that taught me? So much is going on and happening in our world because we don't really belong to him. We're not obedient to him. We won't even speak up and just say. Do you realize I believe at school and where you work and even in your family, there are other people that they're not true servants. They've just not prayed that prayer of his will be done. And what they're needing is just you or I just simply say, hey, what's wrong? Can we not do it another way? And maybe they'll join you. But fourthly, and I want to finish this, and I've got 3 minutes. Fourthly is simply this. If you're truly a servant, if you're truly a slave of Christ, if you have one master, you belong to him, you're at his disposal, you're obedient to him. But fourthly, you must be constantly in his service. You must be constantly in the service of God. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? A slave during slavery time had no time of their own. There was no time. They had no time off. There was no starting hour. There was no quitting hour. There was no vacation, no weekends, no days off, no holidays like Memorial Day tomorrow for some of you. There was nothing. All their time in the ancient times, in any time of slavery, they were constantly at the service of the master. And what that means is, y'all, is this. It was that way because since the master owned them, all the time belonged to him. And since Jesus is our master, we only have one master, and we really belong to him, we really are at his disposal as obedience, then we're never off, amen? We're always at his service. I'm going to leave in a little bit. We're going to take Eric's family, and they've never been to the United States, and we're going to do some traveling this week. As we head out this afternoon, I'm telling you folks, I'm not off. I'm not off. I'm still a child of God. I want to be a fisher of men, amen? And let me give you the last two verses and we're done. The first verse is found in Mark 10:45. In Mark 10:45, the Bible simply says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister, and he gave his life a ransom for many. Jesus said, I didn't come to serve, but to serve. And then in Matthew 4:19, the last verse is simply this. Matthew 4:19 says, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Folks, we don't ever have time off. Listen, we are to follow him when? Constantly. Constantly we're following him. And we're to be fit. When's he going to make us fishers of men? Constantly. Constantly. We have no days off. We have no holidays. There's no beginning time. There's no any time. We're constantly following him. We're constantly fishing and sharing Jesus Christ. And that's what our life is all made up. And there's too many Christians that they capitalize this to when they're at church on Sunday morning. Y'all right? Or when it's a convenient time. Oh, we got that work day. Oh, we got revival. No day off. Why? We're slaves. You know what I want? I want to get this right. Every moment, every situation, church, home, I want to have the right master. I want to have my eyes on the one and only right master, and I want to be a slave to that one master. And I think that's the only way it'll take care of every other master that's trying to be master and wanting me to be their slave, Rick. The only thing. It took Jesus sweating as it were drops of blood as he prayed that prayer. And God did not take away that cup from him. He went fully and died for his master. Would you pray with me, every head bowed, every eye closed? There's someone here today and you need the master. The government's tried to master you. People have tried to master you. Work's tried to master you. School's tried to master you. But you just simply need the master. You need to give your heart to Jesus Christ. I invite you to come. We'll take the Bible and we'll show you how to have Jesus as master. Let me ask you a question this morning, church. And you know Jesus, but who, do you have more than one master? He says there'll only be one. Or are you just a slave to one master? You think, man, I'm a slave to so many masters. That's got me just stressed out thinking about it. I invite you to come to the altar today and just get it organized and put it right. Kneel as Jesus did and say, I'm so excited, God, today because I'm doing away with all those other masters. You're my one. And I'm going to belong to you from now on. Be at your disposal. I'm going to be obedient to you. And I'm going to have this constant service to you. So dear God, help me as I begin to tell others in my family at school and work that I've not got time to serve them, be their slave anymore. Because all my time, all my heart, mind, and soul is now going to be given to being a slave servant to you. Maybe God wants you to be a part of our church family. Open the doors. Maybe you've got physical, emotional, mental, financial trouble, and you just need to come to the altar. Whatever the need is, would you come? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deborah, you lead us.
We stand. Turn to page 488.